We pick up the second half of the book of Job in the 16th chapter, picking up in verse 13. Hear these words. His archers surrounded me. He slashed open my kidneys and shows no mercy. He pours out my gall on the ground. He bursts upon me again and again. He rushes at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth upon my skin and have laid my strength in the dust. My face is red with weeping, and deep darkness is on my eyelids. Though there is no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let my outcry find no resting place. Even now, in fact, my witness is in heaven, and he that vouches for me is on high. My friends scorn me, my eyes pour out tears to God, that he would maintain the right of a mortal with God, as one does for a neighbor. For when a few years have come, I shall go the way from which I shall not return. And so for the last two Sundays, we've spent some time in the book of Job. We heard in the very beginning how Job, a righteous, blameless man in the face of God, had all that he owned, all that he had, taken from him. He lost all his wealth, his status in society, even his children were gone. And in the midst of all of that pain and suffering, Job fell to his knees. Not to shake fists at God, not to be angry at God, but to praise God. For Job realized that even in the midst of all this loss and suffering, God was still there. God was still present in his life. And then last Sunday we heard a dialogue between God and the Satan, in which God said to the Satan, "Here is Job, righteous and blameless. You incited me to take all from him with the thought that in doing so he would turn from me. And yet he remained faithful." And we witnessed how God said to the Satan, "Well, if you so desire, you may have him, but you must spare his life." And so Job then suffered some more. Suffered pain upon his own physical body. And Job, in turn, praised God again. That God was present even in the midst of that pain and suffering. And you know, the truth is for all of us, at one point or another, either currently, in the past, or even maybe in the future, pain and suffering will knock on our doors. It is inevitable. It will happen. We wish for none of it to occur for any of us. But yet the truth is, the broken world we live in, for the most part, will ensure that for some of us that will occur. Job is an example of how we can approach that suffering. Now, we saw in the very beginning, Job's faith was strong, even in the loss of all his wealth, his possessions, if you will. Even in the loss of his children, Job's faith was still strong. He relied on God for all and everything. And then as his physical body was attacked, he still remained faithful to God. There was a bit, though, a crack, if you will, in the foundation. Because he demonstrated his human nature. That as things were taken from him, as pain was inflicted on him, as his life was almost threatened, while he still remained faithful to God, there was a bit of hesitation. Now, the book of Job shifts gears starting in chapter 3 and will go all the way to chapter 37. This, the main portion of the book, becomes a dialogue between Job and three of his friends. It'll be Job will make a statement and his friends will respond. Job will respond once again. And it will go back and forth over these 34 chapters in a poetic sense. You heard Job's comment this morning. This was in response to a conversation. And in it, we hear Job almost, I don't want to say being angry with God, but a conversation about his friends. In this case, Eliphaz the Temanite, who had answered Job previously in chapter, Job spoke in chapter 14, Eliphaz in 15, and now Job responds again. And here we see Job basically wrestling with two main questions. The first, is God just? And if God is just, then does God run the universe on this principle of justice? This is the conversation, really, that takes place over these 34 chapters. Does God run the world on justice and mercy? Job will, throughout this argument, will say to God that, and to his friends, that if you are good, God rewards. If you are bad, God punishes. Over and over, this conversation takes place. Job says, I am blameless, I am good, and I am innocent. And therefore, the suffering I am going through is not of a divine, it is not of God, it is not of that origin. And that if this is correct, then God is either unjust, or the world, the universe, doesn't run on justice. Now, his friends will say, well, God is always just. God always runs the universe on mercy and justice. And therefore, if that's the case, then you, Job, are a sinner. Then you've done something wrong to deserve all of this. Job eventually, at the end of this dialogue of these poems, will eventually give up on his friends and will turn and go straight to God. But here in the midst of this chapter 16, we begin to hear Job kind of wrestling with something I suspect many of us maybe at one point or another have. I know I've experienced it, and in ministry I see it from time to time. Is that when suffering happens, we do two things. We don't tell anyone about it, and we expect everyone to be there to help us. I mean, the truth is, and I've seen it over the 20 years in both part-time ministry and full-time ministry, I'll go into a hospital room, and the first thing I'll hear is, oh, you didn't need to come. Why are you here today? And they'll be like, well, because I want to come and see you. I want to pray with you. I want to make sure you're okay. Oh, you don't need to do that. Now, I will tell you, and I've heard this, and even been told this from time to time, that you'll hear, well, why didn't you call? Why didn't you stop by? And I can tell you, on a visit or two at the hospital or in someone's home, it will eventually get to a place where they will complain about someone who didn't call or check in on them. And I will ask the question, well, did you let them know you're going through this? Oh, heavens, no, I would never tell them that. And I'll be like, so how would they know you're not doing well? Well, they should just know. It's just, they should just know. We will have this dialogue going back and forth. And some of what we hear in chapter 16 is that. Job is saying to his friends, you should be merciful with me. Because the truth is, what you're telling me doesn't help me in my pain and suffering whatsoever. So go away, he really says to his friends. Because he wants them to provide comfort. But he wants them to go away. But he wants them to stay. But he wants them to go away, but he wants them to stay. And the truth is, what Job is really, I think, painting a picture for us is that we need community. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we need the body of Christ around us. Because the body of Christ can give us strength and encouragement. Yes, from time to time it will drive us a little batty. But the truth is, God works from those he sends around us. And sometimes we don't have to do anything at all, other than just to show up and just pray. Just to show up and say, hey, you doing okay today? Just to acknowledge someone's presence in the world. Sometimes that's all we need to do. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Sounds easy enough to do. But yet, for a lot of us, we struggle with that, reaching out to someone in need. And it's easy for family, it's easy to reach out to family and say, hey, you doing okay? But what about the strangers on the street, those we don't know well? Or maybe we know them well enough to know that, well, they wouldn't be in this predicament if they hadn't brought it upon themselves. We're all guilty of that. We've all done it at one point or another. We've all maybe driven by the person at the end of the exit ramp on the highway and said, you know, they wouldn't be standing there asking for money if they'd just gotten a job. Or we might be, well, they're really not wanting money for help. They really want alcohol, or they want drugs, or they want something else. And so I'm just going to ignore them today. We all do it at one point. We're all guilty of that. Looking at someone else's struggle and casting judgment upon them. Some of the discussion that goes back and forth between Job and his friends is this very point. Job gets to the end of it in verse 20. He says, my friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. I cry to God for comfort and for peace. And here my friends that I thought were friends do nothing more than really truly cause more suffering, he says. And the truth is, what he's missed is that these friends have come into his life not to cast judgment on him, but to be a place of support and strength. Throughout all of this poem in chapter 16, he talks about all of his pain and suffering and how at the very end he says, and my friends scorn me. He says at the very end, for when I have a few years to come, I shall go from the way which I came and I shall not return. In other words, I shall go back to God's presence in heaven. But while I'm here, he says, I will suffer alone. He has missed the fact that the body of Christ surrounded him in these three friends. And there's a dialogue, and some of it's fair, some of it's unfair. But at times, for a lot of us, we desire mercy. We desire grace and peace to be poured upon us. And we miss it. I mean, Job's friends, whether they truly are casting judgment upon him or not throughout this, the point is they are there. And he is not alone. He is not alone. He is right there. And so we, as children of God, have an opportunity when suffering falls upon us to choose how shall we respond to that suffering. Shall we go before God with our fists clenched and say to God, how dare you give me suffering? How dare you pour out this pain upon me? And maybe none of us will do that, but the truth is we've kind of done it in a way. I mean, I will confess at times when I've had great suffering in my life, I'll wonder, God, why do I have to journey through this right now? Why me? What did I really do to cause all this? I'll think of myself as the source of that pain and suffering. Instead of just going to God and saying, Lord, thank you. Not for the pain and suffering I'm going through, but thank you for standing by my side. Thank you for not abandoning me. Thank you for the gift of your Son who showed me what true suffering is, what true pain is, that he went to a cross and he died for me, also that I would have victory even over the suffering I go through. I don't want to go through suffering. I don't want any of you to go through suffering. But it shows up. It knocks on our doors. And the truth is, we want to do it in solitude, just like Job wants to be alone outside the city gates, sitting in the ashes, without his friends around him, so he could wallow in self-pity. But yet God says, no, for I shall be with you out there, and I shall send my children to surround you. And they may just sit and say nothing, or they may scoot up right next to you and allow you to lean on them. And as the church, we have a great opportunity to do that. We have a great opportunity to step out in faith to strangers and to each other and say, we are here as the body of Christ. We may be few in numbers, but we are mighty because God's presence is here in this place. We are the beacon of hope for those around us. We are the place where those can come into our midst and feel his amazing love. And so we go before God each and every week. We come into this place for prayer, to sing praises, and to hear His voice through His word. And imagine for those that are struggling, if they could hear the same. Imagine for those who wonder, will the pain ever cease? Imagine if they hear the same. They experience the same. Now, that doesn't mean you need to run out and bring them all in. I mean, that would be great. We could have a challenge for that someday. But the truth is, you are His voice. Each and every one of us in this space. We are the friends that will go out the city gates to sit with Job in the pain, the ashes of his life. We are the ones that God has called to go do that. That might simply be opening your home. That might be smiling at someone. Not saying, how did you end up in this situation? But just stopping by and saying, you know, I was thinking of you today, and I just wanted to call and tell you, I'm praying for you today. And if you need a prayer, great, I'll pray for you right now. Or maybe you just needed to hear someone's voice and say, I hope you're doing okay today. Maybe that's all it is. But God has called us to be a presence in people's lives. You know, yesterday when we had this great celebration at the park in the most ungodly heat that I had seen in a while, what I saw was people being a presence in each other's lives. A community that came together to celebrate freedom, but what I believe is to celebrate community. To just be together. And sometimes that's all we need to do for each other.